Community Matters, that's what you hear right here on WBCK Saturdays and anytime. BattleCreekPodcast.com. It's underwritten by Lakeview Ford Lincoln. Richard Pyatt here. Happy you are along. You know, real estate and the real estate market encompasses plenty of interest among folks and signals pretty significant things to the health of the economy and so on. That's why we asked Al Morehart to join us from Coldwell Banker Morehart Realty, one time known as Troxel, of course, here in town. And Al joins us today to talk about all of that. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Richard, for having me on.
Just as we were planning this discussion, there was news in the last week about commissions and recommendations for changes there. The notion that very often a seller might end up paying for the buyer's agent's commission, and that may be changing. I suppose it remains to be seen, doesn't it?
It does remain to be seen. There's a lot of unknowns out there at this point. Mm-hmm. We're just starting to get some information in regards to what it really means to not only the consumer, but our business.
Yeah, I think the general idea is understood that very often it's the seller that has a little bit more elbow room cash-wise, shall we say, to help the process along. And by that, I mean a buyer, particularly if they're a first-time buyer, they may not have a ton of cash. And so in order to welcome more buyers, a seller might say, okay, as part of the deal, I'll pay the commission for the buyer's agent. And this is the center of what has been discussed as a possible change, that maybe the seller won't have to do that, the buyer will.
That's exactly right. There's a lot more involved in it, but in a nutshell, that's what's happened. There's been some concern that the seller is absorbing these costs during the transaction to, as you stated, move the transaction along and allow their home to sell in a more timely fashion. There's different levels, and you really hit it on the nose with the first-time home buyer market. Especially in our area, which I'm talking Calhoun County, when you look at the numbers of sales that are sold, as an example, FHA, mm-hmm. FHA is a 3.5% down program. So that means the buyer only has to invest 3.5%. And in a lot of cases, that's all they have.
Yes.
With that being said, it's going to be somewhat challenging for them to, whatever the percentage is, it doesn't matter, come up with more money to invest as the initial investment into their house. So with the seller contributing some of those fees, it's allowed buyers that may not be in the market today to get into the market.
This is considered still to be a terrific way to invest in your future by buying real estate. And that part hasn't really changed, has it?
No. When you talk about a person owning a home and creating future wealth, it really starts here, mm-hmm. with buying a home. I think overall, there's going to come a resolution on how to resolve this issue that's manageable for both the buyer and the seller.
Yeah.
It's not stating that the seller can't contribute to their buyer broker fee. It's the way it was presented to them as almost a mandatory item,
yeah,
to be part of the transaction. So we're going to have a lot of sellers, if not majority of the sellers, still willing to cooperate with some type of compensation structure.
On the idea that, that as you said, can expedite perhaps the process of finding a buyer and selling that home to a buyer rather than have it sit there longer because a buyer doesn't have enough cash.
Right. I just believe there can be an argument that, quite frankly, the buyer's already paying that expense by what the sale price is.
Yeah.
And again, it's so new. It might be different the way we present things. I read a letter from the president of the National Association of Realtors that stated pretty much our MLS, which describes obviously the property and all the wonderful things about that particular piece of property. It also describes how a agent's going to be compensated when they bring a buyer. That is to be removed. That will no longer be in our system as I understand it today.
Yeah.
There'll be some type of avenue in the future that's going to disclose if the seller is willing to contribute and what percentage or dollar amount or whatever the seller is willing to contribute towards those expenses, which in most cases, in a lot of FHA cases, the seller already contributes somewhere between 3-6% of the sale price towards the buyer's closing cost anyway.
Yeah. So it could, by removing that statement and perhaps whatever replaces it, will, we presume, offer some flexibility in how that shakes out.
Right.
We should clarify, too, that this idea, this disclosure of how this might work in the future was a National Association of Realtors position last week. Is there any legal process that has to happen once they settle on it?
So right now, to my understanding, both entities in the lawsuit, or all entities in the lawsuit, have agreed upon this settlement. Now it has to go through the court systems for approvals. Once the court system approves it, then we'll be directed as a member of the National Association of Realtors on how to implement the outcome.
Yeah, I neglected to say that this was inspired by a legal case. Yeah.
Right, right. And so this, from the email that I read last night, it's probably not going to take effect until mid-June, mid-July.
We've got a little time
here. So this, it'll be plenty of time for us to, as professionals advising our clients, we'll have plenty of time on what to advise them, how we're going to do things, and the differences and changes. So.
Well, we'll certainly make time to catch up with you again once some of the dust clears and we're able to understand it a little bit more. But you raise a good point that somehow the math will still come together.
Right. Yes, it will.
For buyers and sellers.
Both.
You know, we have heard pretty significantly for some time that in Calhoun County, our general housing stock is below average in the sense that there's not a lot available and we need more. Then, of course, the Blue Oval possibility came along and we heard officials really amp up that message saying, boy, we've got to get some more housing stock. How do you view that? And is that really true? We don't have enough?
No. Simple. Okay, we're done.
End of interview. Thank you. Yes.
A lot of things over the last, since 2018, have really magnified that problem. But right now, we don't have enough stock. And it really started back in 07 to 010. When the big crash happened in the real estate market. It's really strange how different things affect different worlds. And when the crash happened, there were quite a few builders and developers that decided to do one of two things, either retire and get out of the game because they were of that age.
Sure.
Or in some situations, they filed bankruptcy and simply went out of business. Their families lost their homes too. And, you know, a lot of families lost a lot during the 07, 010. I don't believe since then the housing market has really recovered from that. Mm. Then when you start adding COVID, right? And then all the costs started going crazy and the labor force dwindled. It's sort of like the perfect storm, right?
Yeah.
For a very negative impact. As an example, when you look from 2023, now I'm talking again Calhoun County, the average sale price in 2023 for Calhoun County was $197,000 and some change. 2018 was $130,000, but 2013 was $95,000. So from 2013 to 2023, there's been a 100% increase in the price of homes. That's not because everybody went out and remodeled their old home. That's because there was a shortage starting then. From 2018 to 2023, that's over a 51% increase in the housing pricing. And again, it revolves around the shortage of the homes, whether it be home buyers or tenants for rentals. Uh-huh. In general, there's a housing shortage. When you start coupling all the things that we need developers, we need the community, the individual entities within the municipalities to recognize that, and they are, they certainly are. They need to recognize that until we fix this problem, it's highly likely that the prices are going to continue to go up.
And of course, if you already own a home, you know, you look at Zillow or Realtor.com and look at those estimates and say, oh boy, look at that. But should a seller, a current homeowner, say, oh boy, if we get more housing stock, then my value is going to go down? That shouldn't work that way, right?
Here's the other part that's sort of interesting. So let's talk about that perfect storm, right? So you have a seller that says, you know what? All the kids moved out. I really would like to sell my house.
Yeah.
Two things happen. They look at what's available, and then they say, but honey, we have a 2.25% interest rate.
Yeah.
And the rates today are 6.5.
Yeah.
That alone, just the interest rate, has pushed people from a $250,000 manageable mortgage payment to maybe $165,000. And the payment would be the same close. I'm just pulling those. But the buying power difference between the interest rates that we knew not too long ago and today has really changed things. And so there's just so many variables that have all hit at the same time. So 2023, we had a total active inventory of just over 2,000 homes. It was actually 2,088 homes. 2013, 3,580.
Oh my.
So it's all those things. And then when you talk about some of the things that are going on out of our local control, the state is looking at a new building code in Michigan, which could require all new homes have fire suppression. Hmm. All new homes be built with 2x6 construction. That's going to add somewhere around $20,000 to the average size home. Somewhere at state level and local level, we need to get more focused on how we're fixing the problem. I think the municipalities are starting to recognize that. I think since the blue oval, that's probably enhanced it quite a bit. But I wish there was a way the municipalities could do something like the economic development teams do out there. Create an environment, not for just the employees, but now let's talk about doing that same type of support with developers and builders to get them more interested within our community.
That's an interesting idea. So like a Battle Creek Unlimited that focuses on housing construction and working with contractors and trying to attract them to build in Calhoun County.
Right. Is that available? Is that in the works? I don't know, but I think that's what we're going to need.
Why is that? So, and here's why I asked that. I had a conversation not too terribly long ago with the city manager. And she made a point of saying that there has been significant developer interest in Battle Creek, and she associated that, generally speaking, with the Blue Oval announcement, that contractors presume that there will need to be more housing. There is an interest in building more because, of course, if we're going to hire a number of employees to work in Marshall, we'd like them to live somewhat nearby. So let's try and find a way to provide them with more options to do that. So that all put together, the notion was that there is more interest around Battle Creek and Calhoun County from builders now. Is that what you pick up?
I've had some conversation with several developer builders from outside our area that just so happens, and I'm not going to talk about the property or anything like that, but just so happens I have some property that is partly developed. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure has been in place. Developers have looked at it and thank you, but no thank you. When they look at other areas, as an example, the Kalamazoo market, I was talking to one of the developers the other day, and it's a numbers game. I mean, whether we like it or not, reality is if they can make more money somewhere else, that's where they're going to go. That's why I think until some subsidies come in here, and maybe the city of Battle Creek's working on that. I'm not saying they aren't. And I'm not saying any of the other entities that you've spoken about aren't working on that, but they're not implemented at this point. And I believe until those types of things happen, and I'm talking big scale, you know, yeah. I'm not talking about a smaller developer coming in and building 10 houses. It would be great if we had a builder that comes in and builds 10 houses, if we could multiply that by 10 or 15 more builders that did the same thing. Right?
I see. Yeah.
But we need a lot more housing. And I think the perfect people to facilitate that are the municipalities and some of the opportunities that they might be able to present to these developers.
The so-called starter market is still the most active. Is that true?
Sure. Yes.
I had someone say to me recently, the starter market is also the retirement market. So what you just talked about, someone who might be interested in downsizing, empty nest, all of that. So I guess that's the same, similar focus for both of those groups.
You're right. I'm going to talk about my clients.
Yeah.
Most of my clients that are interested in downsizing aren't particularly looking to downsize in their home. They're looking at condos and things like that.
Less responsibility.
And a lot of first-time home buyers have young kids, or they're planning on young kids, or you know, whatever, to where they're not going to be looking at condos. That's the only separation between that. Price range, maybe, yes.
Yes, fair point.
But needs, you know, I want a yard. I want to be able to go out and mow, and I want to be able to garden in my garden and plant my own tomatoes. Somebody that's downsizing, that's done all that all their life, might sort of like the idea of not doing that for the rest of theirs.
I get it. What do you expect is something of an outlook for the rest of this year? Apparently the benchmark interest rate is going to hold. We heard that this week. Does that give you confidence about how people will feel about rates and their willingness to buy?
I think the willingness to buy is there. When I got in the business, rates, when you average them out, I still think they're right around 7% over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So the interest rate, everybody's starting to forget about the shock therapy of the interest rates being 2.5%. Yeah. They're starting to accept that higher interest rate. So I think that is settling down. There's more first-time home buyers out there than there are $300,000 or $400,000. So the shortage of homes isn't a complete market. It's segmented in the market. And so I think the first-time home buyer market still is going to be challenging. I see that my agents are working more with buyers. There was about a six-month sort of, not really slowdown, but they weren't working as hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And the buyers are starting to come out of the woodwork a little bit more. And I think through this year, it's not going to become a buyer's market. Is the market going to be good? The market's going to be good. Is it going to switch from a seller's market to a buyer's market in this next 9 months? I don't think that's going to happen. I think it might not be as strong as you can see properties right now. Instead of a property being on the market for 2 days, which was very normal a year ago,
yeah,
2 years ago, you're starting to see homes stay on the market for 30 to 40 days.
That's interesting, because that would represent a pivot, wouldn't it, from the more recent past where you had multiple offers and buyers waiting, and sometimes the sign doesn't even go up.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I think there's a combination there. Number one, it's not a buyer's market yet, but there is also a lot of sellers out there that felt comfortable going a little bit higher than maybe was suggested to them in a value to see if they could get it. And so I think the reality for sellers is starting to set in. That real crazy market is not here anymore. It's still a seller's market, but it's not like it was 2 years ago where you literally, as you're putting the sign up, you got eight showings and you get five offers or seven offers at night.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 30 years. I never saw a market the way it has been in the last 3 years. I've never seen, I'll buy that house without even looking at it. Where we're seeing more activity with buyers is I had clients, my agents came to me with clients. I don't know what to do because the buyers are so exhausted of writing offers and not winning. My agents had clients, they might have wrote 15 to 20 offers with one client, never got the house.
That's amazing.
And so they decided to take some time off. I'm going to rent one more year.
Yeah.
Or not sell for another year and see what happens. And I think you're starting to see some of those people come back into the market.
Before we go, let me ask you this. What's the one thing a seller could do that you think is the best thing for them to do as they prepare to sell and a buyer to do as they prepare to get into the market? If you had one thing that you could advise either one.
Clean your house.
You know, it's funny you say that. I look at real estate listings all the time just for fun. And it is interesting what you see in pictures sometimes.
Yes. Yes. So it's do all the things that you were going to do, do those. Uh-huh. All the little things around your house that you don't think that seem to be important, a lot of times they are.
Clean up, a little bit of paint, maybe.
Exactly. Exactly. Uh-huh. Make your entry shine. First impressions are everything. As a buyer, go get pre-approved. Use a local lender. Local lender.
Why is that important?
Anything that you can find online, you can find with a local lender.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, we have as realtors, your agent, we have relationships with these people. When we call a national company that you got approved through online, we're just a number, just like you. And we don't know those people. Using a local lender that we're familiar with, that we know protects your interests like we do, it's just a much smoother transaction. And you're going to be a lot happier as a buyer using a local lender.
All right. Well, hopefully we've given some folks who might be thinking about selling or buying something to think about. And of course, even if you're not, and you're an owner, you're always interested in the state of the market. And so Al Morehart helped us with that. Now, Coldwell Banker, Morehart Realty, Battle Creek. We'll check in again as things progress, because it'll be interesting to track the progress.
Thank you, Richard, for your time. Have a great day. Thank you.